Welcome to show number 120 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. I just want you guys to just sit back and relax right now. Close your eyes and imagine, just picture yourself, you're in beautiful, sunny Las Vegas. That's what lots of the industry, I think over 400 people, in fact, are going to Las Vegas this week, this coming week, and going to be at the 2013 Industry Summit. Industry Summit related to sports card. Nothing dirty, nothing crazy. Sports Card Industry Summit, we'll be previewing that on today's show. I've got a few bits and notes and pieces here for you guys that I'll talk about before we get to that, but that's really about it. I don't really have a whole lot to talk about other than the Industry Summit. We've got, we'll go over the schedule of the event. I got an email from somebody that was doing a survey and has done some consumer research, and I've got a few bits and pieces from that, and so I'll talk about that. And yeah, that's about it. We'll preview the event and call it a day. So like I said, close your eyes. Imagine you're in the beautiful, like, dingy Orleans casino that needs no, it's actually not that bad of a casino. I liked spending time at the Orleans last year, and so it was quite fun. So we'll get to more of that in a bit. A couple news and notes that I have for you here. Not a whole lot. We had that whole NFL free agent thing. So hopefully your team either signed a guy or didn't lose a whole lot of people. It just seemed like maybe the attention was on the Ravens, but it just seemed like they lost Anquan Boldin. It seemed like there for a minute they might be losing Ed Reed. They've already had Ray Lewis retire, although who knows, he might come back now that they've kind of lost some of their pieces. But, you know, there's teams adding and subtracting, and we'll see what happens as, you know, the draft comes up. I think that's maybe what everybody's now waiting to look forward to in the NFL, if you haven't been waiting for it already. Some news and notes. 2013 opening day, Topps opening day baseball was a 318 release. Looks like 320 now. So a couple days there if you were looking for that. Although typically with Topps sets, especially with the baseball and stuff, it seems like you always find it a couple days early or a week early at a Target or Walmart somewhere. And in turn, you can jump on eBay and usually there's a couple cards for sale. So if you want to be an early bird on that, that set should be available to you. Totally Certified Football also went from 320 to 322. Might be some Industry Summit thing. They might have some people at the Industry Summit next week, so they needed to push those releases back. But just a couple days on those. So no, you know, I've seen it where, you know, you're a week out or maybe a week and a half out, 2 weeks out from a release that might be kind of exciting. And then all of a sudden, bam, they push it back like a whole month or a month and a half. Sometimes happens a little bit, and it's just one of those things you got to budget for. And it's certainly tough if you're a hobby shop, and some of these hobby shops that will be going to the Industry Summit, and obviously like a box breaker or anybody that's selling boxes or has some sales tied to these boxes, man, it'd be tough to think, you know, maybe planning out your rent or planning out your expenses or planning out your profit for the month when you think a product's going to come out on a certain date, and maybe you have pre-orders, maybe you have a big event or it's a big seller or something, and then all of a sudden it gets pushed back a week or two. It could throw a wrinkle in your plans, a wrinkle in your budget. So it's always probably good to always have cash on hand at any business, but maybe more importantly in sports cards, although most people aren't flush with cash in the business. So save your pennies. That's maybe another tip for today. The last random tip, Dion Waiters really impressed me in a game last week. Kyrie Irving got fouled and hurt his shoulder, and Dion Waiters came in and didn't play great, didn't, like, you know, score 30 points or something, but definitely looked like he was ready to step up and take his opportunity. Kyrie went to the locker room. It was pretty certain that he probably wasn't going to come back in the game and definitely probably missed time after that, and he stepped right up. So I was impressed with this young rookie. He's a little undersized for the position that he's got to play, and they've already got Kyrie on that team who's not going to go anywhere. So I don't know exactly if he's in the best situation there in Cleveland, but certainly a guy I don't see in the NBA. You don't see that too often. Guys come in and they look scared, or guys come in and they don't take over the game or try to take over the game. And I at least saw that at a Dion Waiters. That's a positive trait. If he can work on his game and work on his footwork, I think around the basket, work on his steps and stuff so he could finish the ball a little bit better and a little cleaner, it might be a very, very solid player. We'll see. Just a random basketball tip. Not that I'm any good at basketball. I'm struggling a little bit in fantasy basketball this year. Let's move. It's only been about 5 minutes. You guys don't need a break, I don't think. I think you're still closing your eyes, wishing you were at, you know, like the Caesars Palace pool or just somewhere nice in Vegas, soaking up the sunshine or soaking up the, you know, the air inside the casino. We'll just move right on into Vegas. And while we're talking about, let's just first get into just some general Vegas tips. If it's your first time, if you only go and you've only been there a couple times or only a day or two or maybe only a certain part of the city, I will talk a little bit about Las Vegas. And my brother has 5 tips for anybody attending. And my brother has been once, and I think I've been once. We both went both years, but we only get 1 ticket. You know, why spend an extra $400? You know, I'm all about saving money. Why both of us go when he can go and just tell me what happened? You know, the first tip that my brother has is talk to everybody. You know, we'll go through the schedule here in a little bit, and it's a lot of like, you know, Leaf presentation, it's this guy presentation, it's this distributor presentation, it's this, you know, and when some of these guys own the companies and some people are basically paid to be there because they're a paid employee, you know, what else are they going to say in a presentation? They're not necessarily going to say anything mind-blowing, and they're certainly going to like be trying to do damage control if there's any kind of questions or any kind of heat on them. And maybe that's I noticed there was less like interaction, it looked like, on the schedule, less Q&A, less banter back and forth, and maybe it's because the runner of the event, the operator of the event, maybe has gotten some feedback. Hey, we're paying X amount of dollars for a booth. We're paying X amount of dollars to fly our employees or fly ourselves over there, and we're getting we're coming there to essentially take criticism or to have everybody tell us what we're doing wrong. And so maybe there's a little bit of that, maybe that's not the best way to run an event, especially if you want people to pay to be there, especially the exhibitors themselves. It's easy to get people like me and other people like that to come, but to get people to present and have their products on display there might be difficult if you have that one-on-one banter constantly with them. So that will be done off exhibit hours and in the hallways and things of that nature. And so that's really what you want to take advantage of. And not that you want to go there and talk to Panini. You don't go, really? Like, to me, why would you go there? Maybe you'd go there and want to talk to Panini or want to talk to Topps or want to talk to a distributor that you have to talk to anyways. I wouldn't talk to those people. I would talk to the other card shops, the other people that are in my situation, you know, that are having to buy stuff and sell stuff for a living. They obviously have good ideas on promotions. You'll have people that are succeeding and failing there or trying to – maybe not failing but trying to grow their business. So you want to talk to all of them and figure out what they have to say. What kind of marketing strategies are they doing? If you're going there – as maybe an early startup box breaker, early startup card store, or early dreamer of having that, you know, you got to talk to everybody. Forget talking to Upper Deck. They're going to have a new product. Forget talking to Panini and Topps. They've been doing the same thing for as long as they've been in business. They just come out with a new product as fast as they can and sell it to you as the best new thing ever, and then they move on, and then they're totally moved on to the next product because that has a due date, and they have boss is putting pressure on them, wondering when the next product is coming out and blah, blah, blah down the line. You don't need to talk to them. Talk to the people there that have paid $400 to be a part of the event. They're going to have great information for you. I would certainly do that. My brother says bring some food, and I got to agree. I think I was there. I think I was like, man, I'm dying here. I need a Cliff Bar or Power Bar or whatever it is. I need something. So take a couple things. In the hotel, typically, I think, I don't know if it was every day or if it was during certain times, or I don't even know if they still do it at the Orleans, but when I was there last year, they had some like $1.50 hot dogs or $2 hot dogs down by the sports book, and they were excellent. They had like an old hot dog stand down there, and they were really, really, really good hot dogs. So if you're hungry, you might want to go down and grab one of those. Or there's obviously other food. Towards the back end of the Orleans Casino, there's like a Subway, I think, and maybe like a Pizza Hut and stuff. Down back by the poker room, you'll find some food back there. But, you know, get your money's worth. You know, also in the event, my brother says, get your money's worth. There's all kinds of free loot. There's the black box. There's all this other stuff. My brother makes the point that, hey, you've all year, you've sold this stuff without any help from the manufacturers. Typically, when a manufacturer releases a product, it's like you'll get some kind of like sell sheet that was done in like 8 minutes on a PDF or a PowerPoint. You get that like 3, 4, 5, 6 months before. You know, that's basically like a half a day's work. You get that for a guy. You get that like 6 months before a product comes out. Then you get nothing. You know, in 90% of all companies out there, you get nothing in between there. Maybe if you follow their Twitter religiously and their Facebook and you're on there every day to wade through the 150,000 tweets that they do every day to find the one picture of the one that just came off the presser, maybe you'll be able to see something. Okay, so there's another like hour of work. And then at the end, you finally get maybe get some pre-release photos, maybe. From some companies. You do from some companies. Obviously, they have people that, you know, might actually work during the day. And then from most other companies, you don't get anything. And then all of a sudden, the cards release, and you got to go to eBay. And that's where you get to see the first real shots of a card when it first come out. So the companies obviously don't do anything to promote a product other than do, like I said, work about 3 or 4 hours on it on a sheet, and then they sit back and just delegate out the rest. I don't know what the marketing companies do. It about 90% of the companies out there, I don't see any kind of promotion toward their product pre-release, and then when it comes out, it just comes out. And nothing happens. They don't do anything. They might put some Twitter and some Facebook. That's only been around for – imagine what they did before Twitter and Facebook was around. Imagine what they did then. So get your money's worth. These companies are obviously really lazy, and they don't even manufacture these cards. This is all third party. They have some kind of designer. They're not sitting back there on Photoshop and designing all these and typing in all the descriptions. They get some guy, some college intern or some person making $10 an hour, $8 an hour in some states doing that. So get your free loot, $500, $600, make it worth it. Take from these people, because that's all they do from you, you know, 11 months out of the year. Spend a night at the Orleans Casino. Like I said, I had some last year. I was like, man, I almost never – I think I only went to the Strip maybe once. Maybe we took a taxi once or twice over there. I don't think we ever spent a night out on the Strip. It was a lot of fun at the Orleans. It's kind of a – there's a family atmosphere. But yeah, sure, you get the drinks flowing. That's what they want. The pit bosses want that. So you can have fun at any blackjack table and start high-fiving people you don't even know. It's the same at the poker tables. I noticed the poker tables were a little soft there. I wanted to make it there this last time when I was there a couple months ago. I ended up getting killed. The tables were soft where I was at. I just kept – the guys kept showing up with two pair and trips and making miracle straights and flushes. So that can happen to you, I think, at the Orleans. But I noticed that it was a little bit softer. People would fold there. Whereas like on the Strip, guys just never fold. And you'll have like five – it'll go five ways all the way to the river, and you don't know what these guys have. So there's just some fun stuff to be had at the – they have a decent sports book that I think stayed open pretty late. I noticed the sports book on the Strips would close pretty early, and I'd kind of want to make a bet, and there wouldn't be one open. I seem to recall the Orleans sports book, you could make a bet. I don't know if it's still like this, but you could make a bet a little bit like in later hours and things of that nature. It's an interesting casino. It reminds me a little bit of the Excalibur. Excalibur is a little bit bigger, but same kind of like coloring scheme and same kind of feel inside. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. And there's really a short taxi right away. You're not too far from, you know, whatever casino you want to go to. My brother's last tip is come home and execute. That's a really good idea. I think that's something that you want to do, whether you're going to the Las Vegas event or not. Always try to set goals and try to set some kind of progression plan for yourself. And, hopefully you can execute on those things. And that's it's all going to be happening at the Orleans Casino March 17th through the 20th. So I hope everybody that's going has a really good time, because it should be really fun. Now, before we get to the schedule, no, I'll bring that. If I remember that, I'll come back to that. I am going to run down a little bit on the schedule. Like I said, I felt like the schedule going through it, obviously, I'm not going to be there, and this is totally from the seat of my couch. You can take that for everybody. You can take that for what it's worth. But looking at the schedule, I've been following this event for about 4 years. I think I followed it for a year or two before I even actually went. So I followed the event for a while. This event seems a little bit, like I said, on the sit down. You need to come in and sit down and listen to what Brian Gray has to say. Or you need to come in, listen what, you know, Beckett Media has to say. And that's fine. You're definitely going to learn some stuff. I'm not saying that you need to be asleep or out, you know, throwing, you know, at the craps table. So I think you will still be able to get something from coming to this. And obviously you're going to have neighbors and people sitting right next to you or in a group there that you can talk to. And that's where you can meet some people that you might not know. Or maybe even see some people that you do know and you can start talking to them there. You know, it really starts up around noon on Sunday, and there's some meetings and stuff like that. I don't even necessarily know if you need to be there for this, but it is a good idea to show up. I think if you're new, or even if you've only been there once or twice, I think it's good to try to go to as many of these. Like my brother said, get your money's worth. Go to as many events as you can and at least see as much stuff as you possibly can. The first thing I want to highlight is Mosaic Research will be finding a retailer-only preview of their 2013 survey of sports card collectors. And I don't think I'm really doing it justice to the person that's putting this together named Lori from Mosaic. It's a market intelligent group, and I believe their website is www.mosaic, and that's spelled M-O-S-A-I-Q, so mosaicresearch.com. You want to maybe check that out. I'm sure you could do like a Google search, and they'll probably come up. But they did a survey of sports card collectors, and it seems to me they probably did quite a bit. You yourself may have been a part of the survey. You might not know it. Maybe you do. But some of the interesting points that I've found out about this survey already are that the group box breaks. Let me just read a portion of this email that I've got from Lori here, because I find this very very interesting, and so we'll talk about it here in a second. Here's her an excerpt of kind of her email. An interesting theme that has emerged in the profile of consumers who primarily buy into group breaks. The demographics are powerful, younger buyers, but more educated and higher income, and spend 4-to-1 versus consumers who purchase at local stores, and 2-to-1 versus to what consumers of online retailers spend. We also have a large portion of group break customers indicate that they are visiting brick and mortar because they are buying into online breaks. So you can draw from that. Group breaks are driving people to local hobby shops that might not have visited otherwise. So not only are they growing segment, but they are impacting other channels as well, end quote. So very interesting there. People in group breaks are spending 4-to-1. And 2-to-1 over what people at an online retailer would spend. So I'm guessing that might include eBay and like blowout cards, and maybe, I don't know. I'm assuming that myself. But they are impacting other channels, and they spend more, and they're younger, and they're more educated. Seems to me that's like win, 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 win. No wonder you see a new group box break site pop up every 10 minutes, because the margins are better. The customers are spending 4-to-1, they're more educated, and they're younger. And it's like, that's like Pablo Sandoval in the World Series. It's like, boom, home run, they're younger and they're more educated. Boom, home run, they spend 4-to-1. boom, the margins in group box breaks are higher than just selling the box by itself. Boom, home run. So no wonder. So it's an interest. These stats just back up why, you know, maybe going into that business or at least breaking off into that part of that business is would be wise to you if you're already – think if you're a card shop already. Look at what the guy does on – I don't even necessarily know if you need to do it like a group break all the time. You can just be like that guy Chris on YouTube that just opens it up, and he has a lot – obviously, he's been doing it for a while, but he has his own shop. And so there's some like instant credibility there. You could be open for 6 months, but on YouTube, you look like you're balling because you have a card shop and you have, instead of the guy that's doing it out of his, his bedroom or something, and he has to tell his mom to be quiet. So I think there's some merit there. And I found that to be very interesting. She goes on in the email to say that, that manufacturers and other people have said that they think trading cards in terms of the overall population is less than 10%. Less than 10% of the people actually collect cards or come across cards. It seems to be that most of the purchases in sports cards, like almost half of the purchases during maybe a given month or a period of time, are somebody buying that pack or that box or whatever it is for somebody else. So almost half of the purchases in sports cards are gifts. And so, and she, and Lori says in my email somewhere in here, I'll try to paraphrase what she said, is that she doesn't think, she might not think that manufacturers and people selling this stuff are really thinking like that. They're thinking that the hardcore collector is coming to this website and the hardcore person that knows everything about my website and everything about the hobby is coming here and buying this. And that's not the case. It's a lot of people that are coming maybe to your website for the first time or that don't know the product very well. They might just know the name of it. They don't know anything else. And so those people, to me, that tells me that there's some price increase that can be done, because typically if over half the purchases are being done by people that don't know really much about the product other than they're buying it for their husband or buying it for their son or buying it for their nephew or whoever, their niece, anybody – there's some, you can charge those people more. You don't have, those people aren't shopping on price. It's my husband, John, said, pick up a pack of 2011 Topps Triple Threads or 2012 Panini Absolute. You know, your wife or your sister, your brother or whoever it might be, might, it doesn't know what it is. You might, he might tell you, hey, don't pay more than 50 bucks. She sees it on the shelf for 54 or 55. She's not going to, she just drove all the way over to there to a store she doesn't want to be at. She's not going to then just leave for $5. So you can charge these people more. That's what I get out of it. Mosaic Research might have some other things. And I'm sure if you talk to other people, they might, maybe you should push gift cards more, or the ability to buy gift cards and stuff like that, and the ability to buy credit, which is definitely worth it. I don't know why people – that's not on like every – if I had a website like Blowout Cards or one of these places, I that would be front and center on the top like right of my website all the time, is buy – and I would have a nice gift card system or something. That would be at the top of my page every single time, because you that's where you just kill it. You get people to pay you money for nothing. And maybe they spend it. Maybe they lose it. Maybe they only spend – typically what happens is someone gets a $100 gift card and you might spend $98 of it or something like that. And you get that last $2, and that last $2 is really powerful. There's companies that make millions of dollars a year just on that last – not even $2. Usually it's just a couple pennies. There's companies that make millions and millions of dollars every year just on those last couple pennies. So it's a very powerful, powerful thing. So that's what I see. I see you could be pushing gift cards more. I see you could be certainly raising your prices to a certain segment. There are ways – I don't know if I want to get into this too much, but there are ways you can acquire traffic on a website where you can probably basically figure out, hey, these are my regular customers, and these are the customers that are coming probably as you know, buying a gift for somebody. So you can literally have two different offers for those two people. And that's what I would try to do. If I was getting a lot of traffic and I had a lot of customers, I'd be able to figure out which ones were coming there because they were buying it a gift to a reason. You wouldn't be able to hit it every time, but to a reasonable degree, you'd be able to hit it to which people were buying a gift and which were your regular customers, which were your main channel customers. You charge them the same prices. The people that are coming there for a gift, I charge them more. So I, you know, there's people not out there. Most people, like I said, in this hobby are pretty relaxed. So that's why I was impressed with this Mosaic research, because they obviously weren't relaxed and be able to go through all this data and quantify some of it. I think really this Mosaic research, this is the reason why you go. This is the least fluff. This is like facts. You know, any manufacturer can come up there and 99% is just BS or whatever they've been paid to tell you. But Mosaic, they're going to come up there and tell you actual facts, whether you believe the survey results or whether you believe they took a broad enough segment of the population, whatever. That's on you. But at least they're telling you the facts as they receive them. So I like that. I think that'll be your best. It looks like on Monday afternoon at 4 p.m., there'll be some – the corporate attendees will be able to check that out. And I think there'll be times – I'm sure a lot of that will be released maybe on the internet. And I'll try to bring that to the forefront in a show next week maybe where I'll talk about that. And I'll certainly get my brother – I think later this week we'll try to get my brother on the line from Vegas at least once or twice from the event. And we'll talk to him about this kind of stuff, and we'll go over a lot of the stuff that's happening. So in terms of what's happening the rest of the week, I noticed that it's all the way until Wednesday incorporating technology into sports collectible retailing. Really, that should be, you know, number one. That should be like on a Monday or a Tuesday. The fact that they put this all the way on a Wednesday when a lot of people have left or kind of winded down typically by the Wednesday is when you're going to come in and get what's going to make it or break it for your business. Because seriously, traditional retail in this country is dying as it is. You know, we're not just talking about sports cards. You know, we're talking about there's a lot of mom and pop retailers that have been driven out by the big box retailers. And then the big box retailers are going to start going out of business. You've already seen, you should have plenty of, you know, ideas of the ones that are going to go out of business. You know, Sears and like JCPenney look like they're probably next. Best Buy is around the corner. And, you know, Target and Walmart are a little bit further. People don't even think about those companies going bankrupt. But you look out way out in the distance and you can definitely see that that will happen to them. So it's just a cycle of business. You know, it's very hard to just, you know, go straight up in the air and just stay up there and stay up in the clouds and keep going. So this I felt that should be moved into the front. People should be using you know, not that people should be using Twitter and Facebook more. I think actually if you use it less, it can be more effective than just be on there blasting and blasting and blasting. You never develop like a human side to yourself if you're constantly on Twitter and Facebook just blasting links to your articles or your products or your group breaks. If you're just blasting, that will end up to honestly will end up doing less for you in the long run. People will have less of an impression of you and will certainly click on your links less because they're just inundated with your links. And unless you're just, you know, like have amazing prices or it's 50% less than everybody else every day when you're tweeting a link, or if you're putting out great content like, you know, Hemingway type stuff that's a great research and you spend – typically you can't do it every day because you'd need to spend a couple days doing research and stuff. So don't inundate people with just a bunch of crap on Twitter and Facebook. People are going to get more and more tired of that, and they're going to end up tuning you out, if not unfollowing you and totally ignoring you. And so that's something I see just a really, really big mistake. Maybe I'm not the best at it. I don't really even use Facebook and Twitter and those kind of platforms to promote what I'm doing as it is. I use it more of as a freedom of speech type thing. I think if you put up good stuff on the web, if you have good prices, if you have a good product, people are going to find you. You know, people are not dumb. Like the Mosaic Research said, there's a lot of people getting into this hobby, and there's a lot of people in it already that are younger and more educated and went to college and have a very sophisticated business sense and know, you know, whether they're getting ripped off or not. You don't need to promote things to death to them and promote it down their throat. It's just not – and that's why I kind of look at this industry summit. There's a lot of you know, hey, this guy from some retailer or some magazine exchange. You know, I mean, I know that these guys pay a lot, and a lot of the distributors actually pay the bill for a lot of the attendees to come. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. I understand that. But, you know, I think the only problems I have just looking at the schedule, I think the technology should be moved up. This is like the most important things. I go to people's websites these days. And almost 90% of the time, I'm like, man, this looks like it was set up in 1995. I was setting up websites of that quality in 1995, 1996. You know what I mean? So when you first could start a website, I remember buying my first domain way back when. I think they were like $30 or $40 when they were first out. You couldn't get a 99-cent domain back then. Trust me, it was pre-GoDaddy and pre the compression of price on that. You know, I see just some really poor quality efforts. And when you have younger, educated buyers that are real sophisticated, they're not going to want to shop on a website that looks like it was set up in 1995. Trust me. So that's why I see a lot of fail sites, as they call them. And I see a lot of fail attempts to try to build up your business. If your customers are more educated and younger, you need to get yourself up into that realm too. If you're not educated about how to run a business and how to run a corporate entity, maybe you should just keep sports cards as your hobby. Trust me, that's probably the best decision for you. I would guess that almost 90, 95%, maybe even close to maybe even 98, 99% of the people that get into this business to try to make money end up going right back to saying, hey, I'm going to just collect again. And I'm one speaking of that too. So I strongly encourage most of you to stay out of this business unless you have a tremendous plan and you plan to work pretty hard. So folks, that I don't think I have a whole lot else on the program today. Oh yeah, I did have just some random Vegas tips. So in terms of the industry summit, I think that it starts early on some days, but sometimes you don't necessarily need to be there. There's my last tip is, you know, if it's your first time at the summit, maybe that's your first time in Las Vegas. So don't feel bad like on, you know, Thursday morning, you can't wake up and see, you know, the welcome host from Kevin Isaacson or the 8:15 panel discussion with even the MLBPAs, because I went to that, I think, my first year, and I didn't really hear a whole lot from that guy. The MLBPA guy handles like a lot of different stuff. And so they're not necessarily – they're there to be like, yeah, hey, we love you guys. But, you know, there's other PA members that are probably, you know, putting up Kevin Kaplan even nicer than the Orleans might be. So I don't think you need to – don't feel like you need to be there like really, you know, at the butt early in the morning to catch some of these early presentations, because a lot of that is fluff. But there's a lot of like show floor. You can go around and guys will have stuff out and you maybe will get some freebies there, but certainly maybe make some relationships. I think it is worth it if you are new, or say you only work with one distributor, maybe you only have one relationship, go there and talk to the other ones, maybe even set up an account while you're there. Get their price list. Maybe you already have a really good hookup with the sports cards already, but maybe they don't have, maybe they have diecast cars at another one. Maybe they have like fan items and pennants and little knickknacks that sell actually for a good margin and usually sell at a pretty good clip. Especially if your team, like 49ers stuff was, you couldn't keep it on the shelf. Like anything with Colin Kaepernick's face on it was like, you know, worth $20 around this area before, even now, they're still pretty hot even now. But certainly in like Baltimore right now, anything like Super Bowl, whatever it was, is got to be on fire right now. So, you know, you can take advantage of that, especially because you're already in the sports, the customers that you already have coming in are buying that stuff. So I think it's important to make those kind of relationships while you're there. In terms of my random Las Vegas tips, in terms of some food, if you want mediocre service, but if you're a fish and chips fan, really I didn't have anything else on the menu, but Gordon Ramsay has a restaurant pub in Caesar's Palace. It's like, I think it's around the corner from the sports book, or it's right before you get to the Forum Shop entrance in Caesar's Palace. I think most of you probably, if you've been there, you probably know where that is, inside the casino. It's like Gordon Ramsay's pub or something like that. And fish and chips there is amazing. Really, really good food. Not great service. I think it had only been open a couple weeks when I went there. So not the best, but pretty good. If you want to spend a lot of money, have a really, really, really nice steak and have great service. Like when I went to, it was called Del Frisco's. It's like, I don't know, I think it's North Strip, not all the way North Strip, but North Strip kind of by the Wynn. Like back, you know, kind of like east of the Wynn, you know, back in that area, Del Frisco's. You can just search it on the internet or something. Expect to pay quite a bit per plate. But I think we had four waiters or something like that. Whereas like at Gordon Ramsay's place, you didn't know who your waiter was. You didn't know if you were ever going to get your food. But when it came, it was really good. At Del Frisco's, you had five people. You were like, wow, I don't know which one's my waiter, but each one keeps coming back and like it totally helping me out with what I need. So, and the buffets, there's lots of buffet choices. The best one I've ever been to, Wicked Spoon, I think, is that what it's called? It's in the Cosmopolitan. I think it's like on the second floor or something. I think it's about $25, $30, something like that. But at least for the breakfast, I only hit the breakfast one usually. It is amazing. Just really, really, obviously the Cosmo's like brand new and it's like all kind of expensive. Not that expensive. But that's a really, really, really good buffet. The Forum Shops in Caesars, you can get to Caesars from the Orleans. It's not that far away. You'd have to go through the down by the Palms, by the Rio, and you're almost there. So you're definitely not walking there. That's for darn sure. But the Forum Shops there, you're not gonna find much on sale. But there is like a Nike shop that's pretty cool in there, and there's like a sports shop in there that has some rare items, and there's lots of cool. Just really expensive stuff. If you want like a really expensive jacket or like a really expensive shirt or something, you'll be able to find it there. Hot dogs at the Orleans, I already mentioned that. They're like $1.50. That's really good. Nathan's chicken strips. If you're a chicken strip guy, if you have your family with there and you want your son wants some chicken strips, trust me, some of the best in the entire world are at Nathan's Hot Dogs at the MGM. Don't go to a Nathan Hot Dogs anywhere else. And there might be some good ones somewhere, but most of the other ones I looked were more like a hot dog stand. The one in the MGM is not. It's very fresh, and it's very, very good. So back in the back of the MGM, essentially, I guess people would call that, is Nathan's Hot Dogs, and it's fantastic. I think I had that like three or four times there. The chicken sandwich is good there. Oh, it's really good. I don't think I've ever had a hot dog there. So, but everything else they serve is pretty darn good. And there's a $5 monorail. Those of you who listen to Sports Card Live, which is Dan and Doug from Mojo Break and my brother Ryan, host a show every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And I think it's on – I don't know the – I think it's called Sports Card Live, I think is the domain. But you might want to go to like mojobreak.com first to see if that's for sure. But at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, I think they might do it at a different time because they're both going to be in Vegas, or they're all going to be in Vegas this weekend. But I said, I was a guest on that show this last week. And I said the $5 monorail, it runs basically, it's really easy to get onto at the MGM. They have two locations you can get on and it's really convenient there. and it takes you all the way down to Caesars and maybe a little bit south of Caesars. And not Caesars, they're taking you to the casinos across the street. So I think it's the Flamingo, I want to say, and I think the Tropicana down there. I can't remember the and Bally's is down there. It'll drop you off at those, but you can hit the Aria. You have to walk through, you know, Bally's, and you have to walk through, I think it's the Flamingo or the Tropicana. I can't remember which one's down there. You have to walk through those casinos to then get to the other side of the street, to get to Bellagio, to get to Caesars, and to get to the Aria and the Cosmopolitan. But it's worth it. You know, if you don't want to take, you know, hey, if $15, $20 is not much for you, then take a taxi ride. Who cares? They'll drop you off right in front. But, you know, if you're trying to make that trip a couple times, typically at the summit, like I said, you stay away. I stayed away from the strip the time I had been because I just had no reason to go there because I was having fun. I was having fun at the Orleans. I was having enough fun there. But I think if you want to hit the strip up and you want to maybe hit the whole strip up and do it kind of on a tighter budget, maybe you got your whole family there or something like that, you can hit the $5 monorail. It's not a bad deal. Folks, that about wraps it up. 40 minutes. So for all of you that are not going into Vegas like me, I'm sorry. I really, really upset about that. But what I will probably be doing on most days or every single day, starting on Sunday, I will be doing a summary on our website. More than likely, if you go to sportscardradio.com and you click on news, there should be like a news button. You might even be able to go to, I don't know if this is for sure, but I think you can go to sportscardradio.com/news. I'm not sure if that works or not. I think it does, but I don't have my website up in front of me here. But if you go to the news, if you just go to sportscardradio.com and click on the little news button, I will have something every day because I know most a lot of you might be on Twitter and might be able to follow that. But if you're like me, to me, I have honestly no offense to anybody out there that I'm following on those platforms, but I honestly do have better things to do than flip through my phone and read what people are saying. Honestly, the weather here in California is beautiful. You know, you could be doing a whole lot of things like playing golf, or I enjoy like learning new things. Like I'm reading books or reading not necessarily books, but certainly things online or watching courses. I love iTunes U. You can take courses from Stanford. You can take courses from Harvard. They have all kinds of cool stuff on there. I don't know why people don't talk about that more. I should talk about it more. It's incredible resource. You just need iTunes, but it really is nice on an iPad, especially. You can watch the courses there and kind of go through them a lot faster. But anyways, so I have better things to do, and I know there's a lot of you out there like me that can't, that you're working. Hey, some of you might be working a job where you're out there. You work for like AT&T or something. You're driving a truck or something like that, or you're a school teacher or whatever, a policeman, and you don't got time to sit there and then at the end of the day or go through 1,000, 10,000 tweets or whatever there might be during the day, or even like maybe there's 40 blog posts. And you might not know where they all are. I'm going to try to aggregate all that for you and try to give that to you all in kind of one tight package. And you'll be able to check that out from a guy that'll be sitting here on his couch along with all of you wishing we were in Las Vegas. So on that note, we'll wrap it up here. So thanks for tuning in today. Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. We'll have some, again, coming up maybe in a couple days here, we'll have my brother. We'll certainly have him on maybe for the first day, Sunday, and then Monday, and we'll see if he's even awake or can put down the chips and the dice after the event to call in. But we'll see what happens. We'll have some fun times coming up in the next couple days. We'll have a couple podcasts from there, and we'll see what happens. And good luck to all you and your collections. Hopefully everything's going well there. Hopefully you guys are hitting the big hits. Hopefully you guys aren't hitting redemption cards from some companies out there, because I sure as hell see a lot of bad. And hopefully you're getting all your hits in your boxes and all that's going well, because I hate seeing you pay money for something and then not get your money's worth. That is a sure way to drive people out of the hobby. Let's hopefully everything's going. Let's just have like the you know, the aura about us that everything's going to go well this year, and all our cards and all our hits and all our prospects are going to do well. So baseball season's around the corner. It certainly can happen to you. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.